You have your Bible tonight. I trust that you do. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. For several Sunday nights, we have been considering the life of David. And we've been looking at 1 Samuel for that study. And a couple times we've been we've taken a break from that, youth rally and recently missions conference and other things. And so we're going to try and get back to that, but we're going to do that from 1 Chronicles here tonight. In our study on the life of David, we have seen that he is such a great warrior for God and has developed into such a great leader. And God is preparing him to one day become such a great king over Israel in replacing Saul. And all of that is recorded in just a little bit different manner here in 1 Chronicles. But we also told in the Word of God that he has an intimate relationship with God. He's a man after God's own heart. And he expresses to us something about our upcoming consideration of the holiday that we're about to enjoy and how that we ought to express thanksgiving. Mary Lou just sang about that. Very fitting, I think, that this be our consideration for the message tonight. So I want to share with you just a few thoughts from David, the man after God's own heart, about how to express thanksgiving. According to the Encyclopedia, Thanksgiving is an annual holiday celebrated in the United States on the fourth Thursday in November. It originated after 3 days of prayer and fasting by the colonists there in Plymouth in 1621. And they realized how God had blessed them. And the first National Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed, of course, by President George Washington on November 26, 1789. You say, we don't need all that history. Preacher, we sat up in class and we paid attention. And we got an A in the class. But I believe it seems that many today suffer from selective memory disease. And we fail to reflect upon what God has done for us as a people. And I know that I have mentioned that in messages here lately, that we tend to be ungrateful, that we tend to show neglect to show our appreciation for all that the Lord has done for us. That is a sign of the last days. And I don't want to be accused of being one who is grown cold on the Lord. And I want to do all that I can, as Brother Jason was saying moments ago, to show that I'm trying to please the Lord. I'm trying to live a life that is pointing others to Him. We don't have long to do that. And so, you know, there were 10 lepers that were cleansed by the Lord. And only one of them returned to say thank you. One out of 10, that's not a very good percentage. 9 had the opportunity to do so, but they failed to do so. I don't know how many Christians are represented here tonight, but let's be one who goes before the Lord and says thank you for your grace, thank you for your mercy, thank you for your goodness, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for all of your great and good gifts that come down from above. I do not take them for granted, and I do not suffer from any kind of selective memory disease. Let me just share a little illustration to that effect. There were two friends. One was named Sam. One was named Tom. Sam asked Tom for a loan of $2,000. And Tom put his foot down and said, absolutely, positively, no way. Sam said, wait a minute now, Tom, when your business dropped off, who gave you $1,000 to keep you from being wiped out? You did, replied Tom. That's right. And who took your daughter to Disney World because you couldn't get away? You did, replied Tom. That's right. And who dove into the rapids to save you from drowning on that fishing trip? You did. That's right. Then why won't you loan me $2,000 that I need it? Tom said, all that you have said to me is true, but I can't recall what it is that you have done for me lately. How soon it is that we forget, amen? Unless God has done for us something lately or within the last few moments, we tend to forget how good He is. Brother Kendricks has been reminding me here, it seems like, for the last month or two, of the verse in Psalm 107 that is repeated often. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The psalmist said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. We're to come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And it is the will of God for us to always give thanks unto Him. We are to be a thankful people. A songwriter in our modern era said, how can I say thanks for the things that He has done for me? Sometimes just saying thanks doesn't seem to express it in the way that we want to. So we have to struggle to come up with different ways. Well, David here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 gives us some kind of idea of how we can do that. Let's look at it together here tonight. In 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they brought burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. If you don't mind, I'm going to skip over verse 5, because I'll murder those names that are recorded there. I'd call upon some of you to read it, but you'll probably do the same thing, and the Lord will forgive all of us, I know. But the Bible says in verse number 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. We read here that David gives the Levites, the priests who are given charge over the Ark of the Covenant, some idea through this psalm that he has recorded for them of a way for them to express thanksgiving unto the Lord. He gives several ideas here in this psalm of them to express their thanksgiving unto the Lord on behalf of the people. The Levites were in charge of going before God for the people and offering sacrifices unto the Lord. And as a result of the Ark of God being brought back into their midst, as they offered the burnt sacrifices and the peace offerings before God, David said that every one of Israel had a loaf of bread and a piece of flesh and a flagon of wine, and he charged the Levites to take those things, and through this psalm that he had given them, he said in verses 8 through 12, to do these things unto God as an expression of thanksgiving on behalf of the people. So I want to just break it down for us here tonight and hopefully give us some kind of idea of how we can express our thanksgiving to God as well. The first thing he said there was in verse number 8. Notice, if you will, with me that he said that we're to give thanks. Or he told the people there, he said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." The idea is to call on his name, to consider talking to God. And when you do, give him thanks. That implies going before the presence of the Lord as opposed to just thinking about him. Often we say that the Lord is on our mind. Often we say that we're aware of his presence. Often we say that we recognize who he is and that we know that he is with us. Often we like to quote the verse that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That because we're his child, that we're never out of his sight. And that sure is a comfort to know. That sure is a blessing to know that his eye is always upon us. It is a blessing to know that we can trust, as Brother Wes Bartley, one of those missionaries that was with us this past week, that we have his arm that will stay us, that it will protect us, that it will strengthen us, and that it will provide for us. But here David said that we are to give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. We're to go before the presence of the Lord, meaning that we're not just to think about him, but we're to consciously take time to enter into the presence of the Lord. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see is we're to set aside time to give thanks unto God and consider all that he has done for us and even make known his deeds among the people. Just like Jason was saying moments ago as he was giving testimony before us here. We are to make known his deeds among the people. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I want to tell you something about that. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us are worthy of being a child of God. It is only because of God's great love toward us that we can have the inheritance of the Father. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul said, "I am of the chiefest of sinners, and yet he was willing to come on my behalf." It is only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we can be saved today, that we merit any standing before him. It is not of any good that we do. There is none good, no, not one. I told a bunch of homeless folk yesterday. I told a bunch of people who were hurting yesterday. I told a bunch of people who were down on their luck, so to speak, yesterday. I told a bunch of people who were needing some encouragement yesterday that very thing, that there is none good, no, not one. That there is none righteous. It doesn't matter how much good you think you can do. In God's eyes, we're all on the same footing. We all stand equal, and we're all in need of the same Savior. We all need His great love extended to us. Thank God that He was willing to do that for us. And so primarily, we ought to often and consciously set aside time to thank God for our salvation. To thank God that He was willing to come and do what He did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you do that? Do you consciously thank Him for His unspeakable gift of His Son, Jesus Christ? If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, you ought to take time to do that. You ought to thank God that He loved you enough to send His Son into this world. And by the way, He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't come to sentence you to a devil's hell. He came to redeem you from that awful place so that you, through His Son, might have a home in glory. You ought to call upon His name today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ought to consciously, as often as you think about it, stop and thank God that you had the privilege to call upon His name for saving faith.
Amen.
and thank him that he heard your cry and saved you from the depths of hell. Certainly you ought to thank him for your salvation. You ought to thank him for your sustenance. You ought to thank him for your provision. You ought to thank him for the fact that you have a roof over your head, for you have the ability to pay your bills, for you have the ability to sit at a table and eat food. You ought to thank him for those material blessings. You ought to thank him for your family and for your friends. Do you have a friend? Do you have any family? In this day and age, if you have those things, they truly are a blessing. And if you're a child and you have parents who love you and provide for you, you ought to consciously thank God for those things. They could be taken from you just like that before you realize it. And if you have children that God has given to you, that he's entrusted you with, and you're expected to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you ought to thank God for those precious gifts that he has given you. We ought to thank God for a good local church that we can attend, where we can come and we can get our spiritual nourishment, where we can be fed, where we can receive instruction and exhortation from God's word, from God's man, on how to live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to God. Where else are you going to get that? You're not going to get it from the world. You're not going to get it from CNN or from Fox News. They're going to give their slant on it. You're not going to get it from anywhere but from the house of God and from godly Sunday school teachers and from a man who's willing to get into the study of God's word and give it to you as God gives it to him. Oh, how we need to thank God for a good local church. It's a place where we can come together for encouragement and for exhortation, where we can serve others by being involved in some of the ministries that God calls us to. Hey, I want to stop right here and thank God for the volunteers that helped us yesterday in Hope and Highview. I wanted to do that this morning, but some folks were missing, and I appreciate the fact that the Wilsons were able to serve in another church and be used of God in that manner. But you know, if it weren't for the Boy Scouts yesterday and many of the volunteers, there's no way we could have been able to minister to those folks that were brought in throughout the community yesterday. Those Boy Scouts were in action yesterday, Brother Jason. And I saw you, I don't think you sat down one time. You flying around that gym, just doing this and that, and you got involved in the singing with the group, the special music group that came. That was right up your alley. You saw some opportunity to be used of you and Madison there, played your instruments and sang, let the Lord use you in that way. I appreciate that. What a blessing. The church is a place where we can serve the Lord and serve others by being involved in the ministries that God calls us to. The local church is where we find strength and encouragement from the fellowship with other believers. Too often, it seems that folks endure church rather than enjoy church. They're looking for a way to get out of church instead of looking for a way to get into church. Many refuse to attend, while others can hardly wait till it's over to get off to wherever they're headed. There's folks sitting here tonight, truth be told, they're probably wondering, when are we going to get out so they can get home and watch the end of the football game? I don't even know who's playing. I don't care who's playing. It don't matter to me. It's going to turn out the way the teams want it to turn out anyway. Somebody's going to win, and I don't care which one it is. I'm here to try and please the Lord. I'm trying to get here to get something from the Lord. We ought to be thankful for our local church and the opportunity to be here whenever the doors are open. So we express thanksgiving, David said, by giving thanks. He said there in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Do you have an opportunity when you consciously look to the Lord and make known his deeds among the people? And then verse 9, he said, we express thanksgiving by singing. By singing. Now I realize there are some folks sitting here and you say, I'm not a singer, preacher. I'm not one who can lift up my voice and, like you talked about this morning, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, I want you to notice something there in verse number 9. It says, sing unto him.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Singing is the expression of joy. If the only way possible for you to do that is to get in your car with the windows rolled up and it's on your way to work, then blessed be the Lord. Take advantage of that. Don't worry about the people on either side of you and whether or not they're wondering whether or not you're a nutcase. Just do it anyway. Sing. Lift up your voice and make melody in your heart unto the Lord, as Paul said. Singing is the expression of joy in your heart that God has brought about. Singing praises to God for the acts that he has performed is the highest expression of human worship, if it is done in the right spirit, if it's done in spirit and in truth. David was a man who realized that. He couldn't help but sing praises unto God. Why? Because he had saved him. Why? Because he had supplied his needs. Why? Because he had protected him time and time again. Why? Because he had promised him an eternal inheritance with him. David understood and appreciated all that God was to him, and so he couldn't help but sing. And he instructed these Levites, men of God, who may have found it difficult to express thanksgiving unto the Lord. So he said, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, and talk ye of all his wondrous works. You ever wonder why it is that we sing in church? You say, yes, preacher, I know why it is we do that. If we didn't sing in church, then you'd preach a lot longer than you do. And we'd be a lot more bored than we already are. So I appreciate the fact that we sing. We sing because it takes up 30 minutes of our service. No, we sing in church because it is to be an expression of our joy. It's not just something to take up space in the service or to fill time or just to give us something to do. It is an opportunity to reveal what God has done for us and for us to express praises unto Him. We should glory in His name for the great things that He has done, for the good things that He continues to do, for the fact that He is a powerful God, that He is a righteous God, that He is a loving God, that He is a merciful God, that He is a saving God. We ought to praise His name, and it ought not to be a difficult thing to do. Here it is again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So David had to tell these men of God, give thanks unto the Lord and sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. I did something here to help us with that. Holly, if you will, if you'll get that ready for us, I'm going to encourage you to help us here tonight, or give you an opportunity to do what David is encouraging us to do here in the Chronicles. There are some choruses here that are going to come up, and we're going to try this and see how it will help our spirit tonight. Yeah, we used to do these all the time, and we've kind of gotten away from it. And it's a shame that we have. So if I can remember how the melodies go to these things, we'll try to get you reacquainted with them, all right? We'll sing through them a couple times, little choruses that we used all the time. I'll sing through it, and if you recognize it, you don't hesitate to jump in there and hang on with us, okay? It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. Now I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. Well, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. Everybody comfortable with that range? I'm pretty comfortable with that range, so I'm going to stay with it, all right? It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. Now I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. Well, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. All right. You remember that one?
Amen.
That's been several years ago since we did that, but I thought you might remember that one. How about great and mighty is the Lord our God? You got that one, Holly? You have that one, I should say. Great and mighty is the Lord our God, and great and mighty is He. That's one that I think most folks are familiar with. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. All right, next one. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I think this is familiar to you. It should be once we start singing it. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. That's not so familiar, is it? How many of that's new to a lot of folks? All right, good. You're going to learn a new song tonight. We'll stay with it just a little bit. Here it is again. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy again. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. One more time, I think you'll have it. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Amen. Before you leave tonight, we'll have at the back door on each side copies of all three of those little choruses for you to have and put in your Bible so that from time to time. You can pull them out and use them in your own personal meditation with the Lord, and it'll be an encouragement to you. Let's keep up that singing and praise unto the Lord. Take that celebration hymnal there before you, if you've got one in your songbook there before you, and turn to 170. 170. 170. Just a few more choruses to remind us of a way that we can express our thanksgiving unto the Lord. The Lord hath done great things for us, the psalmist said, whereof we are glad, and so therefore we ought to give thanks with a grateful heart. 170. You know this, help me with it. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Turn over to 214. 214. 214. He has made me glad. 214. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Amen. And 513. 513. When it comes down to it, really all that's necessary is for us to say, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Let's sing through this a couple times. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. We express our thanksgiving by giving thanks and by singing, David said. But notice verse 11 in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. He said also that we do that by seeking Him. by seeking Him. He said, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Seek His face. What does it mean to seek the Lord? We seek His face by pursuing Him, by searching for Him through His Word and through the avenue of prayer. Seeking His face is more than just thinking about Him occasionally or every once in a while. It's like a person struggling through a crowd in order to be directly in front of someone. It's like getting out there on Black Friday and realizing you've lost one of the members of your family and you frantically are trying to relocate them. You're trying to reconnect with them and you say, I can't go any further until I find them. You're seeking them. It's like Mary and Joseph, once they left to return back home and they discovered that Jesus was not with them, and they turned around in hopes of relocating Him and finding Him. They were seeking Him. That's what it means, and that's what we should be willing to do. David said here, to express thanksgiving, we ought to seek the Lord, and we ought to seek His face continually. It's always wanting to be face-to-face with God. How do you do that? Through being in constant contact with Him. You can do that by staying on your knees, by staying in His Word, by being in constant communication with the Lord. What does that do for us when we are in constant communication with the Lord? It gives us strength, the Bible says. When we seek the Lord, we realize His strength. Do you need any strength for daily living? I do. Do you need any strength for the battles of life? I do. Do you need to overcome the enemy? Is he more powerful at times than you are? He's more powerful than I am all the time. But I'm thankful that there's one who helps me overcome him. And I can seek his face and seek his help. And I can get strength from him. And when I find him, it brings great rejoicing to my heart to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So David said, to express thanksgiving, seek the Lord and seek his face continually. And in verse 12, he said, to express thanksgiving, remember. Remember. Remember what? Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Remember his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember the wonders of God. You find them in the Word of God. But has God done anything wonderful in your life? Has he done anything that you can testify of that is wonderful? Not just in saving your soul, but has he done anything that you can personally testify to others and recall in your life that will encourage you greatly, that is wonderful? Anything that will lift your spirit when you're down, and you can say, it's wonderful to know that God has been so good to me. He said, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. I think about the children of Israel as they left Egypt and they encountered the Red Sea, and as they saw the vast water and they heard the horses behind them and the chariots pursuing them, and realized that it was the Egyptian army, and they thought, what are we going to do now? And then God parted the Red Sea, and they marched across on dry ground. And how often they were able to recall how wonderful God was in redeeming his people. What a miracle it was, and how they could relate that to generation upon generation. And we ought to be able to do the same thing as we recall the wonder of God and the miracle of God. But then there are the judgments of God that he mentions, and how God is fair, how he brings about things that are right and truthful and equal, how he measures things, and how he will not let things